undiscerning things Christians believe and repeat. That is the topic we'll discuss today right here on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Just a quick update on my wife, Brody, before we get to the preview for today. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the program that she took a bad fall and fractured her heel a couple of weeks ago, just 2 days before our golf event. She had surgery last week. That's why we weren't able to produce a new program last weekend. And there's going to be a long recovery ahead with her foot up for 6 weeks. But apparently everything went well in the surgery, so she's on the road, Lord willing, to recovery. I just want to thank many of you for your prayer and family and friends who have been so helpful to us. We've just come to be reminded that trials happen in our fallen world. Others are experiencing far worse than this one. And we are trusting God for his good purposes in this. He does have good purposes in this. I also want to just touch on Samaritan Ministries, our national sponsor, because this has obviously come to the fore for us right now. We called them, told them about this medical need for Brody. So nice to work with an organization that is personal and shares our values. We were able to choose what surgeon we thought would be best for this operation. There was no networks to stay within. We can choose our own physical therapist afterwards. Everything's done through, quote, self-pay. You get a discount from that. And then Samaritan members share in these medical costs. No high premiums, no high deductibles. You know, we already had real-life use of Samaritan Ministries, and now we have a bigger need, and this is why we have loved this organization and so enthusiastically recommend them. You can find out more about them at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Okay, let's get to the preview for today's program on undiscerning things Christians believe and then repeat over and over. You know, we are living in an age of disinformation. And what's another word for disinformation? Lies is another word for disinformation. Very few people and organizations today can be trusted anymore to disseminate the truth or facts or reality. I mean, do you trust the Biden administration and the U.S. government to tell you the truth about any given issue, whether it's on elections and voting accuracy and fairness? The pullout from Afghanistan, do you think they've told the truth about that? Or what's going on at our southern border with regard to immigration? Or how about the CDC or the NIH with regard to COVID? Think they're telling you the truth about COVID? Do you trust the mainstream media or the big tech companies, social media companies, to report the truth on their sites? Or what about Christian leaders who always seem to be talking about the issues of race and social justice much more than they talk about salvation and sanctification, the most important issues? Now, of course, the power of the lie has been around since Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden. But the momentum of disinformation seems to have now infected every aspect and every issue in our country. Those attempting to, quote, fundamentally transform America, as President Obama said before he became president, they use language and concepts that are persuasive to Christians. No doubt you've heard someone say at least one of the following. Well, getting the COVID vaccine is about loving your neighbor. That one is just repeated ad nauseum. Or another one is this: unregulated immigration, this is really a great opportunity for evangelism. Or another one is this: Democrats are more biblical on issues like justice and race. So are these statements true or just patently false? If false, why are they believed and repeated by professing Christians? So today we're going to discuss some of the undiscerning things Christians imbibe. Also, Washington Times columnist Robert Knight will join us to discuss President Biden's communist-educated nominee. Yes, you heard that correctly. To be the comptroller of the currency in our government and other current events. But let's get first to this first statement that we're hearing repeated all the time by the secular world, but also, sadly, Christians as well, that getting the COVID vaccine is about loving your neighbor. And of course, this idea of loving your neighbor comes straight from Scripture. In Mark chapter 12, it says this: one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus answered, saying, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this," he says in verse 31 of Mark 12, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So loving your neighbor, to be sure, is an important command of Scripture. Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments with just two commandments here. In other words, loving God is the summary of the first four commandments, and loving your neighbor is a summary of the last six. So I'm just going to read the Ten Commandments, and you'll see how that really does accurately summarize all ten. Exodus 20, where the Ten Commandments are written down: "You shall have no other gods before me." That's number one. Number two, "You shall not make for yourself an idol." The third commandment: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Number four, "Remember the Sabbath day." That was a Saturday back then, "to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day." Number five, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Number six, "You shall not murder." Number seven, "You shall not commit adultery." Number eight, "You shall not steal." Number nine, "You shall not bear false witness or lie against your neighbor." And number 10, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor." So you can see those first four are about loving God, and the last six are about loving your neighbor. And just by the way, as you hear the Ten Commandments, it should be a very clear indication that none of us have kept those Ten Commandments in thought or in deed. And this is the point of the gospel, that we can't keep God's perfect law. We have sinned against the King of the universe, a holy God, and we deserve his judgment. But God be praised that he didn't leave us helpless or hopeless. He sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, to come and live amongst us and to keep all those Ten Commandments perfectly, never sinning, so he could be our perfect high priest, holy representative, and offer himself, instead of offering an animal, offer himself on the cross to pay the penalty we deserve for our sins, so that if we would repent of our sins and believe in who Christ is, in what he did for us on the cross. He paid the penalty we deserve to pay, satisfying God's wrath and justice over our sin, that when we believe that by faith alone and not trust our own works, God will forgive us of our sin, reconcile us to him, and grant us eternity in heaven with him. That is the good news of the gospel. And so the action point is, if you have never repented of your sin and understood how much you have broken the law, God's law, and how much you need to be reconciled to God, otherwise there's judgment coming on you, I would just urge you today, not tomorrow, the Bible said today is the day of salvation, to repent and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if you want to find out more about that, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, and click on "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" Okay, getting back to this first undiscerning thing that Christians believe, which is getting the COVID vaccine is about loving your neighbor, or you'll hear a variation of it. If you don't get the COVID vaccine, you don't love your neighbor, or you hate your neighbor, or you even hear this one, you are killing your neighbor. There's no end they won't take this to. It's shaming you. You're, quote, selfish. You're a bad person. You don't care about others. You're an anti-vaxxer. You're a conspiracy theorist if you don't get the COVID vaccine. You certainly don't love your neighbor. Now, you hear this from, of course, God-rejecting leaders, but the most discouraging element you hear this from is from professing Christians who use these biblical principles, a true principle of loving your neighbor, as a cudgel to persuade you to go along with the God-rejecting worldview of our age. Do you ever hear them say with respect to abortion, we should ban all abortion in order to love our little neighbors? I've never heard that one. Or we should end transgender hormone treatments and surgery because it harms our neighbor. Do we ever hear that one? Not hearing that one. Or don't do business with China, communist China, because it harms our neighbors over there who are repressed by the communist government, and specifically Christians, brothers and sisters who are persecuted. You don't hear that one in terms of loving your neighbor. But the question is, are those telling you to love your neighbor actually loving you, to be ordering you to take an unnecessary, ineffective injection that could harm or worse kill you and violates your conscience? I mean, are they really loving your family when your family might lose you? And the answer is no, they're not at all. They're trying to co-opt you for a lie they have believed. They don't love you. They are for punishing you. They support the mandates and penalties for, quote, noncompliance, whether losing your job or not being able to go to restaurants or entertainment. And if you still refuse, just wait for what potentially might be coming in this country. I don't think it's too far-fetched to say now that those who are, quote unquote, non-vaccinated will be sent off to quarantine centers and worse. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. I read an article on the website SBC Voices, as in Southern Baptist Convention Voices, and they're always on the liberal side of issues. And this just summarizes so well the worldview behind this get the vaccine to love your neighbor. It says this: our fellow believers have been the most resistant to preventative measures since the pandemic began. White evangelicals, not sure why that needs to be specified, were the least likely group, religious group, Christian or otherwise, to social distance or wear masks, and now are least likely to get vaccinated, according to the Pew Research Center. In the Gospels, when Jesus is asked which is the greatest commandment, here it comes, the answer is twofold: love God and love your neighbor. Christians in favor of vaccinations have frequently framed getting the shot as a practical application of Christ's teaching. They certainly have. But white evangelicals, everything framed in race, are the least likely religious group to think about how getting a vaccine might benefit others around them. When the Pew Research Group asked directly if getting vaccinated was a way to live out loving your neighbor, only a minority of white evangelicals agreed. And the number has dwindled over time, contrasting every other religious group in the study. So if you're a white evangelical, you're not in the mainstream. You're just a crazy outlier out there. Quote, Christians have confused selfish defiance with faith and moral courage, unquote, says conservative columnist David French, responding to this data. There's a clear indication of who you should not believe when you read David French's columns. Moving on with the last paragraph here, half of Protestant pastors surveyed by Lifeway Research in 2020 reported hearing conspiracy theories being shared in their churches. General vaccine skepticism, including belief in the false claim that vaccines cause autism, was high among Christian nationalists. There's the pejorative term, even before COVID. There's also tremendous distrust in key institutions. A majority of white evangelicals believe the 2020 election was stolen and the government is run by the, quote, deep state. They are less likely than other religious groups to trust health organizations, academic experts, or journalists for accurate information. For a religion claiming to know the absolute capital T truth, we are having a real crisis of misinformation. It's all about protecting our politics. Folks, I couldn't summarize it anymore, the worldview that believes that getting the vaccine is about loving your neighbor. How deceived and how deceptive and how deluded these people are.
The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton returns in just a moment.
Psalm 46 starts, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. The earth is changing. A strong delusion has bewitched the leaders and peoples of this world. So what's a Christian to do? Focus on the most important thing, God and his perfect and powerful attributes. Our new featured resource is Dr. Stephen Lawson's book, Show Me Your Glory, Understanding the Majestic Splendor of God. For a limited time, we are offering Show Me Your Glory for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. This hardcover book is 278 pages with a retail price of $19. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's thechristianworldview.org.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly Email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233 or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Welcome back to The Christian Worldview. Be sure to visit our website, thechristianworldview.org, where you can subscribe to our free weekly email and annual print newsletter, order resources for adults and children, and support the ministry. Now, back to today's program with host David Wheaton.
So what is being communicated when you hear getting the COVID vaccine is about loving your neighbor is that if you are unvaccinated or not going to do this, you are a greater danger of spreading a deadly virus to others. But the question is that the truth? Does that actually comport with reality? And it does not. Let's think logically through this step by step. There's two types of unvaccinated people, those who haven't had the virus and those who have had the virus and overcome it. Those who haven't got the injection but who have had COVID have the highest antibody resistance to getting it again, far more than even vaccinated people. They have long-standing immunity from getting or spreading COVID. There's no reason for them to be vaccinated, especially with the risk of adverse reactions. But are those who haven't got the injection, who haven't had COVID, a greater danger toward their fellow man? Well, if you believe what the government and the mainstream medical experts say about the vaccine, that it's this great panacea, this cure-all from getting COVID, then the unvaccinated should be no threat to the vaccinated. Anyone who wants the vaccine can get it, so the unvaccinated shouldn't be a danger to anyone but themselves and others who choose not to get it. That should be the end of the story. What this shows is that shaming the unvaccinated is an admission that the vaccine doesn't work. Here's the truth. The unvaccinated who have overcome COVID are the safest people to be around with their high antibodies. As we've seen in Israel, who has a super high vaccination rate and very high caseload of COVID now, the vaccine doesn't keep you from getting or spreading the virus. That's why there are so many flu variants, and that is the way it's going to be for COVID. There's going to be new variants. There's going to be booster guesses every year with a vaccine, the COVID vaccine, that is far more harmful than the flu shot. This command to love your neighbor actually would apply with COVID if you were seriously putting your neighbor at risk through being unvaccinated. That would be the truth, but that's not the truth. So these quote-unquote Christians are really just, and I hate to use this term, useful idiots for those with godless globalist intentions. COVID is just a pretext, as we can clearly see now, for putting the population in fear, consolidating power and money for government and medical experts that ultimately results in harming or even killing people, which could be part of a depopulation scheme. Because after all, according to them, the world is overpopulated, which is causing climate change. Honestly, the pressure to get vaccinated is so backwards, is so wrong, that the only conclusion to be drawn is that this is an intentional effort to transform society to globalist ends. What it means to love your neighbor means to seek God's best for another person. God's best is that that person be saved and sanctified. God's best is not that you harm them spiritually, mentally, or physically, and that you don't coerce them to violate their conscience. So loving your neighbor with regard to COVID is this. If you are sick with COVID, stay away from your neighbor. If you get COVID, use early treatment at home like ivermectin so you don't have to go to the hospital and take up a hospital bed. Loving your neighbor is telling others about early treatment and warning them about the risks of the vaccine. And ultimately, the greatest way to love your neighbor is to tell them about how they can be made right with God. Because ultimately, there should be no fear when you are right with God, because even if you die, you have a better future ahead of you. What did Paul say? For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. We're not trying to die as Christians, but we're not afraid of death. Christ has conquered death and the fear of death on the cross for believers. Now, just quickly on to two other undiscerning things that Christians believe and repeat. The second one is illegal or unregulated immigration is actually an opportunity for evangelism. And therefore, it's okay because they're coming here and we can share the gospel with them. You've heard a variation of this. Well, we wouldn't be able to go there where they're from to share the gospel. So isn't it amazing that God brought them here? Really? We should allow unregulated, unvetted immigration into our country because of the opportunities for evangelism? Never mind the harm to citizens, our own neighbors, the lost jobs, the crime, the government dependency, the redistribution of wealth that takes place, the overcrowded schools, the diseases, the electorate changes, the fact that so little assimilation to our country takes place. Just overlook all that because of evangelism. Evangelism is a priority one command of Scripture, the Great Commission. These people who say this about immigration don't already see the hundreds and thousands of people around them on a daily basis as opportunities for evangelism. Do we really need to compromise our own country and send our country into a chaotic situation by allowing more unregulated immigration? Christians should be for immigration. We should take care of the stranger, as it says in Scripture. But the stranger needs to be vetted. It needs to be regulated so we can have a safe and ordered and stable society. I'm going to let Robert Knight talk more about this issue during the interview. And just quickly to the third undiscerning thing Christians believe and repeat is this, that Democrats or the Democratic Party, they are more biblical on issues like justice and race. I read a tweet by Dwight McKissick. Remember that name? He's the senior pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church. He was once in the Southern Baptist Convention, recently left, and he always seems to be on the more liberal side of certain issues. He said he was so disappointed that the Biden administration had gone so full-blown ahead in favor of abortion. He said, beyond heartbreaking, it's a tremendous amount of betrayal and disrespect for all of the minority, he's black, evangelical believers who vote for Democrats because they, Democrats, are better at justice issues, safety net, police brutality, public school funding, anti-prisons for profit, and immigration issues. Is he really right about that? Democrats are a better option for Christians to vote for? Never mind abortion and homosexuality and their anti-God worldview, their Marxist, godless worldview. Are Democrats really better on justice? Is critical race theory, is that truly a fostering of justice? Or is it really injustice and racism, reverse racism against white people? Safety net? You mean the redistribution of wealth, taking from some to give it to others, that creates this incredible dependency that we've seen in the inner city? Public school funding? You mean funding the anti-God, anti-American humanism that's so prominent in our schools? Let's hear from Washington Times columnist Robert Knight on these two issues and some other current events. Robert, thank you for coming on the Christian Worldview today. I want to read the first part of your column this week. You start out by writing, anyone still doubting that we're in the grip of Marxist handlers in the White House might want to know about Joe Biden's nominee for Comptroller of the Currency, a branch of the Treasury, the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, quote, charters, regulates, and supervises all national banks in federal savings associations, as well as federal branches and agencies of foreign banks, unquote, according to its website. Mr. Biden has nominated Saul Omarova, a graduate of Moscow State University. No, not Moscow, Idaho. She graduated from the Communist College in 1989, Moscow State University. She was a recipient of the Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship. That would be Vladimir Lenin, you write, founder of the first communist nation and a ruthless mass-murdering dictator. So what on earth and why has this received so little media coverage with her background?
This is really part of what we see as a trend in Washington, which is increasing centralized power in Washington, D.C. over everything, from the financial industry to schools to private businesses with COVID mandates and so forth. I'm not surprised the media didn't give this much coverage because it's embarrassing that the Biden administration is appointing a woman who cut her teeth on communist economics and for all intents and purposes seems to be trying to impose them on the United States. Some of her ideas include the People's Ledger, which was a paper she wrote, and it calls for the Federal Reserve to take over consumer bank deposits and, quote, effectively end banking, unquote, as we know it. She wants a national investment authority with a board of her fellow academics, you know, the best and brightest types that got us into so much trouble in so many ways with Vietnam, Iraq, Obamacare, et cetera, et cetera. She wants something like the Green New Deal, which would make America completely dependent for outside energy, would destroy our energy sector. I can go on and on. Her ideas are awful. Oh, she also wants a public interest council of, highly paid academics, which would take over the Federal Reserve and govern that as well as other things. And, you know, the Federal Reserve isn't an official government agency. It's really a consortium of huge banks. And, yeah, they work with government officials. And I think one of the problems is they have too much power. But handing over their power to the federal government is not the answer.
What is the Federal Reserve? They have a tremendous amount of power. Why?
Well, they print our money. Engraving and printing actually prints it. But the Federal Reserve turns on the tap and turns it off. They set interest rates, which can steer our economy up or down, depending on what they want to do. If they want to tackle inflation, which is raging right now, they'll raise interest rates. That will tamp down the economy. It may help us with inflation, but it'll impose more costs on businesses. So it's a fine line. The idea of turning the Federal Reserve over completely to federal bureaucrats worries me, especially somebody like Omarova, this woman who also tweeted that she admired the Soviet Union's handling of no gender pay gap there. She said, say what you will about the old USSR, there was not a gender pay gap there. The market doesn't always know best. She tweeted this 2 years ago. What has been uncovered about the Soviet Union, the sheer amount of terror, mass murder, poverty, mismanagement, and how they helped import it all over the world to Cuba and now Venezuela, certainly communist China. Anywhere the communist system has taken hold, we have mass murder, tyranny, no freedom of the press, religion. It's akin to Nazism in terms of evil. It might even have exceeded it because, after all, the Nazis killed 6 million Jews. And the communists in Russia managed to kill 12 to 20 million Christians, along with Jews and anybody else who wouldn't toe the communist line.
This so-called infrastructure bill, there's going to propose to be somewhere between 3.5, maybe real numbers, more around $5 trillion in spending by the U.S. government, printing and spending. We've seen over the summer during COVID, the government is basically paying people to not work. Companies can't even hire, get people to work for them because there's no incentive to stay home and make money from the government. We've transitioned, as you just said earlier, to energy dependence. And then you mentioned also the Green New Deal and just an unending amount of government spending. I mean, there's laws of economics here. You create more money supply, it causes the current dollar to lose value. Everyone has to pay more for everything. We're already seeing it. So why is this infrastructure bill that's being so debated, and even amongst the left, why is this so important to the left to get this bill passed?
They want to put into place permanent change, and spending $3.5 trillion plus another trillion in so-called infrastructure spending on bridges and roads, which is actually not the case, that's only maybe 10% of that bill, is all designed to centralize power in Washington, to basically to make the states utterly subservient to the federal government and almost irrelevant. They're tearing up the Constitution with this massive spending, because it isn't just about money. It's about creating new forms of enforcement. And as far as the amount, that's mythical as well, because when you put a federal agency in place, it grows exponentially. There is no incentive to cut it down, as there is in the private sector. If you fail as a bureaucrat, you get a larger staff and a bigger budget the next year. There's no market accountability. There's no market discipline. That's why the government just keeps growing. When Medicare was introduced, I think it came in at $100 million was the projected cost. And now, of course, it's in the billions and billions. If you think these government programs will somehow be contained to the original estimates, you haven't been paying attention to what happens to the federal government. The other thing is there are things built into this bill that Democrats like. It would give $80 billion more to the IRS to harass taxpayers. They say this will pay for itself because they'll be able to shake down more people. They also have all sorts of provisions that are only coming to light now because the bill is hundreds of pages long and nobody really knows what's in it. It's a lot like Obamacare, where Nancy Pelosi said famously, we have to pass it so you can find out what's in it. Well, that's we found out there were a lot of things in Obamacare we didn't like and we're stuck with. This would be far worse. This would be the greatest expansion of government since the New Deal and the Great Society. And the Democrats know that they're losing people now. People are upset over the disaster at the southern border, the surrender in Afghanistan, the raging inflation, high prices at the gas pump. Things are going bad for America very quickly, and it's been so since Joe Biden took office. So they're hoping to somehow put this into place before enough people find out and throw them out of office. They think, well, we've got another year till the November 2022 election, so maybe we can get everything cemented in place so even if we lose power, the Republicans won't be able to do a whole lot about it. I think that's the game plan.
The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton returns in just a moment.
When it comes to your health care provider, what are some words you would use to describe your experience with them? Comfort? Peace? Confidence? Well, at Samaritan Ministries, those are just some of the words our members use frequently. Like Samaritan member, former long-term board member, and now staff member Jamie Piles uses to describe his 24-year relationship with Samaritan Ministries.
It's hard to put words into the comfort and the relief and the peace that you have as you've come to terms that Samaritan Ministries is real, it's viable, and it's working, and it's there. We just thank God that He's allowed us to have that kind of peace, to be in a situation where I can focus on things that are far more important than what are we going to do about healthcare.
Want to be part of a growing, caring community of Christians who faithfully share each other's medical needs each month, all without the use of insurance? Find out more at SamaritanMinistries.org/TCW. That's SamaritanMinistries.org/TCW.
David Wheaton here, volunteer host of the Christian Worldview radio program. Listeners are often surprised to learn that we as a ministry pay for airtime on the radio station, website, or app on which you hear the program. The primary way this expense is recouped is through listeners like you donating to the ministry or becoming a monthly partner. Our aim is to have each broadcast outlet fully supported by the listeners to that outlet. If you are a regular listener, we would be grateful if you made a donation or became a monthly partner of any amount. To do so, go to thechristianworldview.org and click on Donate. You can also call 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233 or thechristianworldview.org. And be sure to specify in which station, website, or app you listen, as that helps us decide whether to continue on a given outlet. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for joining us on The Christian Worldview. Just a reminder that today's program and past programs are archived at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Short takes are also available, and be sure to share with others. Now, back to today's program with host David Wheaton.
Robert Knight with us today here on The Christian Worldview radio program, an author and columnist for The Washington Times. His website is roberthknight.com. You should sign up for his weekly column. It's excellent. This week's column is entitled Communist Predators Far and Near, talking about the new hire for the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, literally a graduate of a communist college in Moscow, former Soviet Union. We're hearing a lot about cryptocurrencies, the elimination of cash, and the U.S. dollar not being the world's reserve currency going forward. This is just a new frontier. What does this all mean, and what should Christians be doing with their money, or just to be prepared for what might be coming?
Well, the Chinese communists are the biggest fan of getting rid of the United States' dollar as the reserve currency for the world. They want to replace it with their yuan. That's Y-U-A-N. That's their currency. And they were actually named as a form of reserve currency back in 2015 under the Obama administration. They helped engineer that. I can't confirm right at the moment that Joe Biden had a lot to do with that, which doesn't surprise me. His family was up to its ears in business contracts in communist China. They want to displace the U.S. as the prime currency, and that would be a disaster for the U.S., partly because we do carry so much debt of our own. We're able to do that and keep putting off a reckoning, partly because we're the world's reserve currency. China knows that. They want to knock us off our pedestal, and that's one way to do it. As far as cryptocurrency, no government likes cryptocurrency because they haven't been able to regulate it the way they do cash and bank deposits. So they're really gearing up to get a handle on cryptocurrency. But one thing they do like about it is that it's virtual. Cash is hard to trace. Up till now, cryptocurrency has been pretty hard to trace. They want to do away with cash. They want us all using maybe a single credit card at some point so you can track every single transaction that anyone makes. They are putting into place mechanisms to do this. The IRS is going to review every account above a $600 balance and every transaction of $600 or more in a year. Let that sink in for a moment. In other words, if you do your regular banking, you pay your Visa bill out of your checking account, the government wants to know about it. This is tyranny in the making. They want to get into everybody's finances. Then they can start dictating that, well, we don't like the way you're spending your money. You're donating to causes that we consider hateful, like churches that are resisting COVID mandates or colleges that refuse to put LGBTQ people into positions of power. Remember, government is about force, as George Washington reminded us. It's not eloquence. It's not persuasion. It's all about force. And people on the left love force. They know socialism is rejected by most people because you don't work for other people. You work for your family. It's unnatural to want to give away everything you earn to some unknown bureaucrat to spend instead of you and on your own family. So they have to enforce it with force. And this is what liberals do. They leap to force at the earliest opportunity. It isn't the last resort. It's usually the first. We're seeing that more and more in the financial world, in schools, where the school board association has asked the FBI and the Justice Department to crack down on parents who are protesting the terrible programs in schools like critical race theory and the transgender agenda. This is tyranny masquerading as inclusion. The good news, David, is more and more people are onto it. And I think that's why you see more and more of a crackdown. People are getting wise. They don't like what's going on. and the left is reflexively cracking down to try to tamp down dissent. I don't think it's going to work. It's like trying to hold a beach ball underwater.
I'm not so sure, though, Robert. I've never seen anything like this in America right now, the suppression of speech taking place. They want to silence any dissent. They're doing that, of course, all across social media platforms. Anything that's not approved, political speech that they approve of is being removed or shadow banned and so forth. And then the fact that the elections is really the big thing. If the elections aren't free and fair, I think there's a lot of doubt about that. We don't know what the future is going to hold as being able to, even if Americans are disgruntled with this political leadership, whether they'll actually be able to get them out of power. Robert Knight with us today on the Christian Worldview. Now, what you've described, Robert, today in the program is a move towards this globalism, this word communism. You have to say this is communism. And people will say, oh, this is just a boogeyman to say America's moving towards a communist style repression. Matter of fact, you write in your column, Americans had better wake up to the communist style repression that is becoming more and more common here in America, driven by socialist economics, mass illegal immigration, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the imposition of, as you mentioned, of critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and Black Lives Matter curricula in schools. Communism, you write, comes in many guises, but it is always at war with free markets, so economics, religion, culture, and tradition. I see this, Robert, as an intentional transition being attempted by the Biden administration and the left in this country, an intentional transition to communism or just say globalism. Do you think that is what is taking place?
The communists were fond of saying that just give them a generation and teaching children and then they'll have a country. One way they've done it here in America is by implanting the philosophy and fake history, and I'll call it that, of Howard Zinn. He wrote a book called A People's History of the United States, and he has a version for kids. It's a pack of lies. It misrepresents Christopher Columbus. It misrepresents America. And yet you can find it in every school district in America. This is one reason homeschooling is soaring and private schools are coming back. People are realizing, partly thanks to the pandemic when they saw what they were teaching by Zoom, that we're in the grip of an educational establishment that is run by and for Marxists. They're not out for the good of your children, our children. They are intent on a radical revolution, changing America to something we wouldn't recognize. Well, it's no coincidence that the three founders of Black Lives Matter are women who are proud Marxists. Two of them are open lesbians. And the whole idea of today's left is that the original idea of communism, of the workers throwing off the capitalists and revolting in a revolution, never came about because America generates so much wealth in all levels that it just couldn't possibly work here. So they have transferred the Marxist ideology to race and sex. They use the LGBTQ agenda as a battering ram against religious freedom, against freedom of speech, even freedom of assembly. They have recast traditional sexual morality as a form of actionable bigotry and then turned loose the regulatory state on it and also the culture, using big tech, using corporate personnel departments, using the entertainment world. It's a full court press trying to tell people that they shouldn't believe their own eyes, that boys really can be girls and vice versa. And if they know what's best for them, they better shut up. As far as the racial issues, that is another spear point into the American psyche. They have used race to divide, not bring us together. They are violating the whole concept of a country united in the singular purpose of preserving liberty and all the freedoms we take for granted, like religion, religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. They're saying, well, none of that's important. What's important is picturing America as this white supremacist nation that has done so much evil in the world and has to be taken down. I mean, they really hate America. They hate this country.
They do.
And they use the language of compassion to try to convince Christians that they're on the side of the angels when they're not. You don't back an atheistic religion like Marxism and say you're on the side of the angels.
Well said. Robert Knight with us today in the Christian Worldview. Part of what we discussed in the program today are the undiscerning things that Christians believe and repeat. So I'm just going to ask you to briefly comment on each of the three things we picked out today. The first one is, and you mentioned this issue of compassion, right? Getting the COVID-19 vaccine is about loving your neighbor. We hear that repeated over and over again by Christians, but also the mainstream media just picks up and they love to use that Christian terminology to try to persuade and coerce people to get the vaccine, the so-called vaccine that people don't want to get. How would you respond to that one? Getting the COVID-19 vaccine is about loving your neighbor.
I think it's a brilliant move because Christians are very vulnerable to the charge that they somehow lack compassion. So you can get them to do anything if you tell them, oh, it's compassionate to do so and it's uncompassionate not to. The media are repressing all the evidence of adverse reactions to these vaccines. People who watch their health and don't feel that the COVID poses a greater threat than perhaps the vaccines. When they know people personally who have had terrible adverse reactions, up to and including death, the short answer is, yeah, accuse a Christian of lacking compassion, you can almost talk them into anything.
Very well said. The second one is, the second undiscerning thing Christians believe and repeat is, well, look at all the immigration going on right now across the southern border, not only from there, but also from Afghanistan after the ignominious, pathetic pullout from that country by the Biden administration, where thousands, tens of thousands of Afghans are being brought over here, unvetted, by the way, not necessarily the ones who helped our country when we were there. Just bring as many over as you can so you'll create permanent voters for the Democrat Party. And here's the undiscerning things Christians believe and repeat. Well, illegal immigration or this unvetted immigration can be overlooked for evangelistic purposes. In other words, isn't it amazing that God has brought them over here so now they can be evangelized? How would you respond to that one, Robert?
No nation in the world except the United States has given up defense of its own border. You don't have a country if you don't maintain your own borders. You vet people who come in. You just don't open it wide and say, well, gee, that's a good opportunity for us to share the love of Christ with these people. Meanwhile, they could transform the country radically just by having millions more people dependent on government aid and reliably voting for leftist politicians. I believe that's the agenda, to import a new electorate that will replace the old electorate that's on to the Democrats now and doesn't like what they're doing to our country. So they bring in new people, get them hooked on government aid, and then show them where to vote. And by the way, loosen any election security measures you can. Get rid of voter ID. Get rid of election day and make it election month. Make it same-day registration. Make it automatic registration. They have worked so hard to make it very difficult to monitor elections, all the while letting millions of people in. If you don't see an agenda here, you're not paying attention.
Okay, final undiscerning thing that Christians believe and repeat is this one, that the Democrats are actually better for Christians on certain issues, and they'll pick issues like justice and race. You hear this from even leading Christian influencers, pastors in this country. Before the last election, we heard this, that you really can vote either way. It's a matter of conscience. How would you answer that?
Democratic Party has adopted an extremist position toward abortion. They are for abortion all the way up to the point of birth. And even some Democrat politicians have advocated even after birth, like Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia, who said, well, that's a conversation between the mother and the doctor. In other words, infanticide. That is not a Christian position. As far as racial justice, the Democrats have a terrible record. They were the party of the Confederacy, the party of Jim Crow laws. And Republicans voted in greater percentages for the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's something the media don't want you to know. The Republican Party was formed mostly to free the slaves. And the Republicans are trying to free today's minority populations from the extreme dependence they've developed under democratic rule. Look what they've done to the inner cities. Look at Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore. They've destroyed the black family on purpose, gotten the people hooked on government aid, and told them to vote Democrat. It's an ongoing scandal that the black population continues to vote Democrat while the Democrats obviously don't have their best interests at heart, have kept them in bondage for years and bribed them against their own interests. At the same time, attack their most deeply held religious values, like for life and for marriage. It's astounding to me why people who are minorities continue to vote Democrat. They use the term social justice as a battering ram, but social justice is just a Marxist term. It means redistributing income. It's really a way to entice people, make them dependent on government aid, and then keep the people who are dishing it out in power. There's nothing compassionate about it. What's encouraging is to see the Blexit movement, which is blacks leaving the Democratic Party. Some of them become conservatives. Others are just tired of the left-wing politics that violate their values. But many are speaking out. There are some prominent black conservatives now. Hispanics are starting to vote conservative, especially in the south of Texas. In a major city in south of Texas, they elected a Republican, a city that is 85% Hispanic. This is scaring Democrats to death, and it should. A lot of minorities are realizing that the Democrats are all about keeping their own power and using the government to keep them in power, no matter what it does to the communities. Yeah. Social justice is not justice. It's a Marxist term, and you see, a lot of Christians in particular fooled by that term. A lot of Roman Catholics like to throw the term around. They really should look into the history of that term, and they will see that it came straight out of Marx.
It certainly did. And let's hope that Christians become far more discerning about the obvious lies and deceptions that were constantly told and unfortunately too often believed. Robert, thank you for coming on the Christian Worldview today. We appreciate your columns every week. Again, we encourage listeners to go to your website, roberthknight.com, sign up for your weekly column, and we just wish all of God's best and grace to you.
Oh, thank you, David. I've always enjoyed being on your show, and you are instrumental in getting the word out to people who aren't going to get it in the mainstream media.
Well, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. He gets all praise and glory for anything this ministry of the Christian Worldview is. We thank you for your listening today and for your support of the Christian Worldview. Let's remember until next time that Jesus Christ and his word are the same yesterday and today and forever. So think biblically, live accordingly, and stand firm.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope today's broadcast encouraged you toward that end. To hear a replay of today's program, or to sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out what must I do to be saved, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry and furnished by the Overcomer Foundation, a nonprofit organization. You can find out more, order resources, make a donation, become a monthly partner, and contact us by visiting thechristianworldview.org, calling toll-free 1-888-646-2233, or writing to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.